Our scripture text for today comes from this psalm. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and I'll read verses 1 through 9 of Psalm 107. Beginning to read then with verse number 1 of Psalm 107, "Hear now the very word of the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." May God's word be blessed. This theme of the goodness of God is one that I have had on my mind for the last couple years, because I believe that it is one that is so overlooked by people, and if people understood it just a little bit better, they would understand why they ought to show a love for God much more easily than they do. Especially that world which is completely indifferent to God or antagonistic to him, which stands back from him. And so, I believe that you can see that coming out in this psalm. Now, it begins by stating the theme. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And then it says, "For his mercy endures forever," as a reason. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Now, what I would say that these first few verses teach is that all men ought to know that the Lord is good, but they don't without being reborn. And so this psalm focuses on the idea. It calls all men to give thanks to the Lord, but then it especially focuses on those people who have been renewed by the Holy Spirit, as people who would come to realize this. But that does not destroy the obligation. And I don't know whether you've thought about this or not, but the more we understand the goodness of God, the more any indifference that we have toward him or antagonism toward him is magnified. It's one thing if someone is a bad person and is a nasty person and you don't pay them heed. That's more or less to be expected. But when somebody is really, really good and we're not attracted to them, we're opposed to them, or we're indifferent to them, then that is something which is very hard to understand. And the Bible is very clear that when it comes to goodness, that you can't get any gooder, that you can't get any better, you see, than God. God is full of goodness. His goodness is manifested to us in terms of the creation. When we think, you look at the animals of the world and they're lovely, but when you compare yourself to an animal, you can see how God has been extra good to you. You have a mind, and you know most animals, they go off and they really don't care about mothers and fathers after they reach adulthood. You don't see wolves seeking their fathers from a couple of generations back, or enjoying grandfathers and that sort of thing. But we as people do. And God endows us with a knowledge of each other. He endows us with a mind that we can understand ourselves to some degree, each other. And most wonderfully of all, he gives us minds that we can understand him. And he endows us with gifts of vocation, gifts of interest that we find attractive in the world. Some like to use their mind in this way and others in that. But in all of these things, God endows us with gifts. And by and large, for the most part, God endows us with safety and gives us so much more than we deserve. There are people out there in the world that when we see how much evil they're involved in, we say to ourselves, if I were that person, I'd be afraid to turn the next corner. I'd be afraid to leave the house in the morning for fear that the Lord would send some sort of bolt of judgment out of the sky. But by and large, God restrains His wrath in these days in which we live. And so the more you know about God from the Scriptures, the more you understand how good and how kind He is to the people of mankind. When I was a boy, I went away to camp for the first time. It was a camp, it was a YMCA camp called Camp Towsey up in upstate New York. It was one of these things where my parents talked to me about it, and I didn't realize that they were giving me a propaganda trip for a number of months ahead of time. They were building this thing up, how great it would be and how much I would like it. And I was pretty warm to the idea until it got time to leave. And I was fairly young at the time. And then all of a sudden I realized that in order to go to Camp Towsey, I would have to leave the safety of my home and my parents and that sort of thing. And so that all of a sudden that didn't appeal to me as much as it did before. And then I went off to Camp Towsey, and it was horrible for me for the first couple of days. Because I just missed my parents. I missed my brothers and sisters. I missed the things that were familiar. Here I was in a strange place, and I didn't think that a living soul cared about me. And they had punishments for bad campers, of cleaning out the latrines and that sort of thing. I thought, I've never heard of this before. You know, we had indoor toilets, and everything worked fine, and nobody was punished like that. We'd get spanked once in a while, but nothing like this. This was like the military of some communistic country, I thought. So I was having a rough day, and I guess most nights I was crying, writing letters, take me home, you know, bring me home. But there was one counselor there at the camp who I began to notice. He was a especially kind leader. And so he was very kind, and he seemed to have a lot of gifts. He had a lot of interest in us boys. And so he was like a magnet. He was good in many, many ways. He was a very good counselor. And what I noticed about this was that he was like a magnet for the other boys. And he ultimately drew me out of myself. And when my parents showed up at the end of the week, I still wanted to go home. But I'll never forget how it was a natural thing seeing a really good person like that who was nice to me as a young camper, how that had a magnetism to it. I was attracted to that. Now, the situation in this world is just the opposite, you see, because God is the superlative of good. There is no shadow of turning with the Lord. God has all the riches of the world, all the power, all the goodness, all the beauty. He's able to endow us with these things. Why are people not drawn to a God like that? And why, on the contrary, are they allergic to a God like that? In fact, all of us here today are confessing Christians. We may not all be Christians, but we're all confessing Christians. And I think all of you look really good, and you'll look really nice to me. And, you know, I'm attracted to you. But you must know people that aren't attracted to you. And you say to yourself, well, here I am. I try to be a wonderful person. I try to be loving and true and honest and all of these things. And yet, there are many people in the world that are not really attracted to me. As a matter of fact, some people are really turned off, and they, whether they feel guilty around me or us or whatever the reason, they actually seem to want to avoid us. Well, if we notice that, and we find it kind of difficult to deal with. I mean, can you imagine the Lord who is full of goodness and He knows the hearts of men? He can read right through the hearts, people that will pretend one thing and really have another thing in their heart. The Lord knows all of that. He can see right through. The bottom line is that the Lord holds people full of guilt for being indifferent to Him. I think most Americans, if you ask them, is there any reason you feel guilty, or is there anywhere where you think that you're breaking the law of God? The idea of worshiping the Lord would be way down on their list. They might say, well, I cheated so-and-so, or I did this bad. You know, I thought of hurting so-and-so, or I did hit somebody, and that sort of thing. But I would say that most Americans have not even begun to consider the great and awful sin of their indifference to God. As they walk down the streets, as they're indifferent to the Lord's day, as they're indifferent to giving Him their worship and their life. You see, because God is who He said He is, because He is God, and because He is God good, He demands that we pay attention to Him, that we give Him our attention, that we are interested in Him. And when we walk by the other side, when we are careless and don't really have time for the Lord, it says far more about us than it does about God. If He weren't good, it wouldn't maybe make that much difference. But because God is as good as He is, for us to be indifferent to that goodness says a tremendous amount about us. So the psalm commands us, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." See, the psalm focuses on the fact that people are especially mindful of the goodness of God once they have been redeemed. So if you are not really excited about the Lord, if you're more or less carefree about giving your life to Him or being devoted to Him in your life, it's a sign that you need the grace of God. If you have the grace of God, or you receive the grace of God, then you'll have a real reason to give thanks to Him, because not only will you understand the goodness of God as it is in Him, but you'll all of a sudden understand something about yourself that you should have been happier about the goodness of God before. But now that the Lord has worked in your heart, now you see it. And He's healed you of the sickness that you had, the allergy that you had to Him. And now, to hear about the goodness of God, it's almost overwhelming to your heart. And you're much more ready to give the thanks that you ought to give. People today in America, I mean, we like all people to come to church. We'd like people to worship the Lord, but we know why they don't. Their hearts are cold toward Him. They don't have a real sense of His goodness. They just take His goodness for granted. It's like somebody who's giving out $1,000 bills. Well, we'll take them, but we don't have to love you, you know. That's the sort of attitude. And so people will take money from God, but they leave without a whole lot of thankfulness to Him. The psalm brings out, though, that as the Lord worked on the people of God in the Old Testament, as they got to know Him and as He redeemed them, as He delivered them, then they became more sensitive. Verse 4 and following, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. This is after they came out of Egypt. They came with the church. They played the part. They were with the church. But they wandered in the wilderness, and they were hungry and thirsty, and their soul fainted within them. Verse 6, it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. And then verse 8, I love that. It's a plaintive cry. It says, oh, that men would give thanks to God for His goodness. We ought to do that. The Lord, through His prophet, cried out that this should be done. Oh, that men would do this. But we know from the psalm and from the rest of the scriptures that men simply will not do this until God sheds His grace, until the Holy Spirit works upon them in their hearts. But if we're reborn, then we have every reason to magnify in our own minds and think about it, reflect upon it, the goodness of God. The thing that really strikes me in my Christian life is when I see people that have been through great tragedies and great trials, where they have almost been crushed to death by the incidents of their lives. And yet when you talk to them, they're happy about the Lord, and they can only meditate or express about the goodness of God in the midst of their lives. When Job was pressed by the incidences of his life, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had a graciousness, a thankfulness toward the Lord, despite all of the awful things that the Lord in His providence had brought upon Job's family. So the goodness of God is something that we can use in our evangelism when we're talking to people. They just have no idea that just because God is good, their guilt is getting piled up by their indifference from Him. The safest thing they can do, the best thing that they can do, is to come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, make their peace with God through Christ, and then begin to give God the praise which is His due. To thank Him for His goodness, to thank Him for all His gifts to them, to thank Him for all of His kind providences to them. We may not have something on the 10th day, but what about the first 9 days that we've already had those gifts? The Lord does take things away from us in our lives, but the Lord gives us so much more that He takes away. And especially if we come to Him through Jesus Christ, then we inherit all things. Not only do we enjoy the goodness of God, but we enjoy the goodness of the creation. And we will enjoy the goodness of God forever. Forever and ever and ever in the rest of our lives. So that when we lose somebody here, I know my mother just died 2 years ago. And I've missed her a great deal. But I know that when I go to be with the Lord and I wake up on the other side, that it will seem almost like coming home from camp, that Camp Towsley. You know, I was away a week. To a little boy's mind, it seemed like I had been wretched out of my whole existence. But when I came home, within minutes, it was as like no time had passed at all. I was reunited with my family. And there we were in full bliss, at least until we started to get in fights as brothers and sisters and that sort of thing. But even that was bliss by comparison. Heaven will be like that. God is good. Praise be to His name.